Yes, a very good morning, you Daily Mob. Welcome back to your Yarning Circle, the Murray Grapevine. It is National Talk Black. It is I, Trevor Tim, Trendy Trev, Murray from the Curry, live from First Nation Radio Station here in Cairns on your dingy country. That's BBM, BBM, Bummer Bipper Media, 98.7 FM. And we go across the nation thanks to NERS, National News Radio Service. You can have your Sabre calls on that daily number, 1-800-422-416. I'd like to acknowledge traditional owner of the land we broadcast from and to all our traditional owners across this beautiful country. As welcome back to National Talk Black. Have you say mob yarn up strong, too deadly. And we're going to catch up over yarn now with Dr. Nicole Yap, a general surgeon specialising in breast and reconstructive procedures. And it's breast cancer affects 1 in 7 women and is the second leading cause of cancer death in females. Free and subsidised breast cancer genetic tests during October. So let's catch up over yarn now with Dr. Nicole Yap on the line. Dr. Nicole, good morning. How are you?
I'm good, thanks, Trevor. Good to talk to you.
Great to be talking with you. Thank you very much for coming to the program. Look, a very important conversation. And so breast cancer affects 1 in 7 women and is the second leading cause of cancer death in females. But also we're talking about free and subsidised breast cancer genetic tests during October.
Yes. Well, I've taken the opportunity of October being Breast Cancer Awareness Month to launch my not-for-profit organisation, Australian Breast Care Centre, and that's to raise awareness in younger women, that's women under the age of 50, who about breast cancer, about the things that we can do for them, because they're often overlooked, especially by their GPs, because their symptoms are related to cyclical changes often, which is true, but it's always good to get checked. And
sure.
also, in the younger age groups, the cancers tend to be more aggressive, and it's really important to get to them early because early diagnosis saves lives.
Mm.
And as part of that, if you have genetic mutations, which occurs more so in communities where there are a bit more isolation and geographically isolated. So that's where genetic mutations occur more often, and it's really not that well funded by the government at this time, because I don't think it's really appreciated, and because these sorts of breast cancers, if you do have a mutation, occurs generally in the younger age groups. So once again, it's sort of a double-edged sword. So what I've done through this is teamed up with Dorovich and Genetic Diagnostics, which is an offshoot of Dorovich Pathology Company, and we're offering some free genetic testing, and anyone that wants to be involved, albeit that it is actually in currently, because I'm located in Victoria, so it might be a bit difficult for the guys in Cairns to access this, but we'll see what we can do.
Sure.
So if they get onto the website, www.AustralianBreastCareCentre, and you scroll down, first of all, you'll see a whole lot of films that I've made with my patients talking about their experience and their journey through a whole lot of breast issues, not just breast cancer, and just things in general that people may want to ask or think about but are too scared to go to their GP to ask. So just you can wander through that and then come down towards the end of the website where there's a competition, and the competition is actually the free genetic testing.
Okay.
And
so anyone across the country can
have a look at that, and also have a look at what it all means too. So it's just in your own time you can have a look through that.
Lovely.
And it's actually been endorsed by the Minister of Health, Greg Hunt.
Beautiful.
So that's also showing there, all on the website.
Yes. Dr. Nicole, can you hear me there? Yep, no. I've lost Dr. Nicole. We'll try and get Dr. Nicole Yap back and continue that yarn. So it's free and subsidised breast cancer genetic test during October. But going to the webpage, AustralianBreastCareCentre.com.au. That's all one word. Check that out. We'll try and get Dr. Nicole back to continue that conversation. Very important conversation. And what I picked up there is regarding sometimes it gets missed in regarding the breast cancer test, so to speak. So if you're going for your checkup, ladies, very important to hone in on a breast cancer test. and checked it out. So that's the conversation I picked up with Dr. Nicole Yapa. We'll get it back online and continue to yarn here on National Talk Black. Don't forget that deadly number here is 1-800-422-416. Otherwise, you can text the brother, 0457140550. Yarning with the bully one here, Trevor Tim, Trendy Trev, Murray from the Curry. I'm your host for your daily program, National Talk Black. And we also got our webpage as well, BBM 987 FM. But we'll try continue that yarn with Dr. Nicole Yap on the line. Dr. Nicole, you there?
Yes, I am.
Good,
I
got you back.
I must have been talking to myself for a while.
No, all good. We caught everything, and then I went for the response, and you couldn't hear me. So I thought, we'll get you back, but that's all good. So just confirming the free and subsidised breast cancer genetic test during October, going online, and this can be across the country. Is that right?
Well, it's actually via Dorovitch. Do you have Dorovitch pathology where you are?
I believe we do, yes.
Okay, so that's fine. It's across the country.
Okay.
You can do a telehealth with me, because I then talk about the results to the patients. So, or not really patients, because they're just people that have had genetic testing.
Sure.
Hopefully not patients.
Exactly. That's the goal.
That wouldn't be a problem. We can easily
fantastic.
Do that and then refer to whoever's around to help them out if need be.
Okay, and just confirming, I picked up what you were saying there, Dr. Nicole, regarding sometimes a lady's going and get a checkup, but they sometimes get missed in regarding the breast cancer testing. So what you're saying, we should be honing in on going in to get the breast cancer test outside the normal checkup with an individual, yeah?
Yes, because when you say normal checkup, you're talking about breast screen,
that
the government provides.
Sure, yeah.
The problem with that is that they push it for the ages from 50 to 75. They will do it from 45. But the problem is that the incidence of breast cancer is occurring more frequently, like
under
15%. 50. Well, 20% under 50, 15% in the 40 age groups. And they miss out on this breast screen, even if they did do the mammogram, because all breast screen is a mammogram, because they tend to have dense breast tissue, gets missed again, so they need an ultrasound. That isn't done in breast screen. So what I say to people is, if you have any breast issues that's different from the norm, don't be afraid to go to your GP. And if you're not happy that you've had the full workup, and what's the full workup? It's a proper examination, a breast examination, followed by a mammogram and an ultrasound, because both of them show different things, and then to see, what is causing your breast symptom.
Sure.
Then if you're not happy, just seek a second opinion.
Yes, true. And I'm picking up as well is men can get breast cancer too. Is that right?
Yes. So last year I had two male breast cancers through the year, which is to me quite a lot, because they only really represent 1%, and it's predicted of all breast cancers, and it's predicted in Australia that there'll be roughly 164 men diagnosed in this year, 2021.
Okay.
So if that's the case, then I've got two of those, and they did really well because they presented early. And the problem with men is they don't think they'll get a breast
exactly.
cancer. And so they think, oh, it's nothing, and they feel embarrassed and all this sort of thing. I mean, it's your life or an embarrassment. Who the hell cares? It's a problem.
Exactly.
Go get checked, and that's all you need to do.
Just to be safe than sorry. Beautiful. Dr. Nicole, thank you for your yarn. Thank you so very much, and all the best to you. Stay safe down there in Victoria. Borders open up. Come join us here in Cairns, far north Queensland.
Well, if we get the borders, that'd be great.
Exactly.
Get past the border.
Thank you, Dr. Nicole. All the best to you, sister.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
See you. Bye.
A deadly yarn. Dr. Nicole Yap, her name is, and talking about breast cancer, which affects 1 in 7 women and is the second leading cause of cancer death in females. But also, as she just mentioned there, men as well, almost 1% of these will be male breast cancers as well. And there is a free and subsidised breast cancer genetic test during October. So go online, check it all out, do your information. Australian Breast Care Centre, australianbreastcarecentre.com.au. Have you say, Yana? I'm Strong, National Talk Black, 1-800-422-416.
With the lights of the city burning deep to my eyes, I As I sit at my window, searching these skies for a star to hold on to and call my own. In the hole I'm leading me home. I recall these past years and the chances I've had, and relate my misfortune to this habit so bad. Had I just listened to the words of my dad, maybe things would look better right now.
Yeah, Daily Track there. That's Shannon and John Rowlands, Gentle Heart, from that album, Gentle Heart. This is your daily program, National Talk Black. Have your say and yarn up strong, 1-800-422-416. Call that number, yarn with yours truly, Trevor Tim, Trendy Trev Murray from the Curry. I'm your host for your daily program, National Talk Black, and come to you live from First Nation Radio Station here in Cairns, BBM, Bumbrabrip Media, 98.7 FM. And we go across the nation thanks to NERS, National Digital Radio Service. So have your say and yarn up strong. Now, the butterfly effect, how Torres Strait butterflies could help conversation efforts. A University of Queensland researcher has spent decades compiling a first-of-its-kind database of the butterfly species of the Torres Strait Islands, boosting biosecurity and conservation measures in the region. Working closely with the Torres Strait Island Regional Council, Dr. Trevor Lampkin. And we have Dr. Lampkin on the line. Dr. Trevor, good morning. How are you?
Oh, good morning. How are you?
I'm well. Thank you very much for coming to the program. Where are you based, Doctor?
I'm in Brisbane here, and I believe your name is Trevor as well.
And you're going to go a long way in life, you are, Doctor. Yes, that is the case. Trevor's got to stick together, Doctor.
Yeah, that's right. Exactly. Thank you very much. Thank you.
Now, talk about the butterfly effect, how Torres Strait butterflies could help conservation efforts. So please enlighten us, Doctor.
Oh, look! You've got to go back. My association with the Torres Strait Islands, you have to probably go back almost 40 years. And when I first went up there, and
probably from the
first time I went up there looking at butterflies on some of the southern islands, I realised that there was very little actually published, and there was a lot of bits and pieces of data lying all over the place. And,
Doctor Trev?
Entomology. That's entomology. Insects. Yeah,
yes, okay.
Insects. Yeah. So, I sort of realised at a very early stage of going up there that this was a sort of a remote, unknown area, and I should really sort of start recording things as I went along. And it just went on and on and on. And then in the last decade, I had a vision, an idea to put all this data down and do a university thesis degree with it, and have it officially published. So, and now that's the long history of it. But when I put it all together and into the final thesis, some interesting things came out of it, and that's why I'm talking about conservation here, because up until now we've known as a whole very little about a particular animal groups that occur up there, and this is like one animal group. It's quite a unique study because it's one animal group from one type on the islands of one population of people, you know, one race of people. So
how many types of butterflies do we have?
In Australia, we have in total something like about it keeps on going up all the time, but about 330.
Okay.
And about 430. And we've had from the Torres Strait Islands, we've had around 220 species reported. So it's quite rich, and
yes,
it's quite close to New Guinea, as you well know.
How important is butterflies to the environment?
Well, with the importance of butterflies. Now, I would say that the significant, well, there's two importances. There's a natural ecological importance of what role they play in the ecology. Then there's an importance for us humans in how we can monitor our environment. And a very good way of monitoring our environment is through butterflies.
Okay, if we've got plentiful, then the environment's good. So if the butterflies are plentiful, then the environment's good, is what you're saying.
It's plentiful, and what composition they have, and that what types of species.
Okay.
So for us humans, we know a fair bit about butterflies. We know a lot of their biologies. We know a lot of their distributions. We can identify them well. So they are a very good barometer to say, well, you know, this habitat is healthy, this one isn't.
Okay.
So now, thankfully, the Torres Strait Islands are still fairly, they're fairly healthy environments out there because they are remote. And they don't have a lot of the problems our environments here have, you know, especially clearing and that sort of thing. They're being under native title, they don't get cleared, which is fantastic. So,
well, there'd be less pollution up in the Torres Strait compared to the Big Island.
Exactly, less pollution. And, I mean, it's just a nice environment up there. And, and it's close to New Guinea, which is like a... New Guinea is sort of like a... Even though
the capital of butterfly, you could say.
Well, in our part of the world, it is. Yeah.
Yes.
Although, although directly across the Torres Strait from the Torres Strait is the fly platform, that low marshy area of New Guinea, which is not which is not real diverse in butterflies, but it's still pretty good. So we're Torres Strait Islands are quite rich.
Beautiful. And now you work closely with the Torres Strait Island Regional Council, which is fantastic. Do we have entomologists up that way, or is it just you dropping in?
Well, the entomologists that go into that area are, of course, the biosecurity ones.
Sure, okay.
And now what also, Trevor, this study has indicated too is that even though we think that some of the Torres Strait Islands are quite remote. When it comes to flying insects such as butterflies, they easily get across the water.
Is that right?
I did an estimation of the number of fly-ins that we get on those islands, and I based that on a lot of pieces of data, and it indicates that no matter how remote you think, say, Murray Island is, right out on the east. How remote you think that is, they do get a lot of butterflies coming in, mainly from the northwest, of course, from New Guinea during the monsoon period. Now,
that's a hell of a flight, isn't it, for a little insect?
Exactly. Now, what we think is a remote island, and it's getting quite a number of butterfly species coming in that aren't resident on that island, you've got to think to yourself, what other insects are going across the water? And that's why it's been a highlight to indicate that, look, there are a lot of insects that will be going across that water and a big biosecurity risk.
Yeah, gotcha, exactly. Would butterflies, pardon the pun, would they carry disease or germs or as such?
They're quite benign things. But what you were alluding to before, but it'd be important. That's a human importance that they serve, but in the natural world, of course, they're part of the ecology of a particular environment.
Yes,
you've got to realise that out of every 100 eggs a female butterfly lays, you only get two of those that come through to the adult stage, about 2%, 1 to 2%. So now all those other ones are food for various predators, whether they be spiders or parasites or birds or whatever. So they do, you know, if you multiply all those out, all those butterflies out, multiply them by 50, you get there's a lot of food up there for different types of animals. So they do form an integral part of the food chain.
Okay, fantastic. Now, I don't know of any human being destroy or hurt butterflies, because we just they're a beautiful, peaceful insect and colourful. And it's eases the mind and the heart and the spirit when I look at butterflies. What can we do as human beings to support or help butterflies?
Well, I think that there's several things. Firstly, that what this study has indicated too is that the ones that are up in the Torres Strait that are most likely to suffer from rising sea levels.
Okay. Yes.
Climate change. So that's a number for the island communities, and especially the low-lying ones. You know, the mud islands in the North Boigu and Saibai, and you've got the lower parts of Dwan Island and Yama Island. And some of the lower parts of Erebus, Darnley Island, are very susceptible to rising sea levels.
Yeah. Well, we've had many conversations, Dr. Trevor, on this program about the rising of the sea and sea walls and what have you, and all the conversation, the money and the government, what have you. Well, butterfly could be in that for the conversation in regarding for sea walls and what have you, protect not only human beings but the animal world, and butterflies
That's
included.
Right, exactly. We have in the Torres Strait, Trevor, we have what we call an endemic species. That means an endemic means basically it only occurs in a certain area, and we have one that's endemic to Torres Strait, and it's only been found on four islands. Now, it lives in mangrove communities, which are basically the first area that will get affected by rising sea levels. And it only occurs on those low-lying islands, Saibai, Boigu, Dwan, and Yama. And they are sort of first in line to be affected by any rising sea levels.
In regarding your communication, you're working closely with the Torres Strait Island Regional Council. That's fantastic, because this information is put across the table, and that information is then put in regarding the government conversation, sea walls, and what have you. Yes.
Now there are also, on top of that one species, there are 17 others that are only found in Australia, the New Guinea species, but they're only found in Australia on those low-lying islands.
Okay.
And they occur in these low-lying environments on those islands.
Okay, so very important.
They're another 17 that we could lose from those islands.
So, and when you say lose, we're talking extinction or just extinction from the islands? From the Torres Strait,
extinction from those islands.
Sad.
Yes. So now, as I said, I'm working with the Torres Strait Island Regional Council at the moment to get the thesis that was produced. It's a 500-page document, and it now I'm getting it organised through the university to have it printed hard copy, and I'm organising to meet with one of their general meetings they have of all the councillors, and I'm going to make a presentation and make an official presentation of a
beautiful council. Well, before you flutter off, thank you very much. Beautiful information, and standing up there for our beautiful, pretty butterflies.
Yeah, and I'll give a push for myself as well. I'm still undertaking the study; it's still going on. So
yes.
I'm intending to head up there again in January, so I'm going to intend to go to Bardu Island this time. So
lovely. Well, keep this program in mind for your support as well, and getting the word out, and having these deadly, beautiful conversations about conservation and the butterfly effect. Thank you very much, Dr. Trevor.
I appreciate your questions. Thank you, and take care, and have a good day.
All the best. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Adelian, and the gentleman is Dr. Trevor Lampkin, and he's an entomologist and working closely there with the Torres Strait Island Regional Council, talking about the butterfly effect and how Torres Strait butterflies could help conservation efforts, and so even the push for the rising tides, rising sea levels, and government's conversation with the Torres Strait Island Regional Council about getting sea walls and what have you. So not only protecting the human beings, our brothers and sisters up there, but also the wildlife and butterflies included. So very important to have all people at the conversation at the table to talk about protecting the Torres Straits. Have your say, Yana Strong. Add to the conversation here. National Talk Black, 1-800-422-416.
Looking back on the memory of the dance we share 'neath the stars above, for a moment all the world was right. How could I have known that you'd ever say goodbye? And now I'm glad I didn't know the way it all would end, the way it all would go. Our lives are better left to chance. I could have missed the pain, but I'd had to miss the dance.
Yeah, that's The Dance by James Scott here on your Deadly program, National Talk Black. Have your say in Yarn Up Strong, New Mob, Too Deadly, 0457. Where are we? Sorry. The number here to call is 1-800-422-416. And I was reading at the text number, if you want to text in, if you're on the shy side, 0457140550, or our Facebook page, well, BBM987FM. And I call that daily number, and yarn with yours truly, Trevor Tim Trendy, Trevor Murray from the Curry. I'm your host for your daily program, National Talk Black, and come to you live from First Nation Radio Station here in Cairns on your dingy country as BBM Bumbabrip Media, 98.7FM. And we go across the nation thanks to the NERS, National Digital Radio Service. All right. Now, the Family Project is a free-to-all platform which will feature topical daily themes, activities and advice, all delivered online. The project encourages families to connect and take part in activities together with the view of creating, understanding the instability, the unpredictability of recent months has taken its toll on Indigenous families across the country. To help with these daily challenges, a new government initiative is what I'm talking about here, the Family Project, designed to support the mental, emotional and physical well-being of families, has just been launched. And we're going to catch up a yarn now with Rihanna Lotto, and she's an artist and a founder of Gindabar. And it's I've got her on the line now. Rihanna, good morning. How are you, sister?
Good. How are you?
I'm well. Thank you very much for coming to the program. Where are you based, sis?
Based in Sydney.
Sydney. All right. Before we start, let the mob know who your mob, where you're from.
So my name is Rihanna Lotter, and I'm a proud Yulin woman, which is the south coast of New South Wales.
Oh, beautiful. Artist you are. So talking about the Family Project and this deadly free-to-all platform and to help mob out there in regard to the world that we live in, COVID-19.
Yep. Yeah, so the Family Project, obviously is a government-backed initiative which is launched to support families through the ongoing lockdowns and restrictions. Mm. So I was lucky enough to do an activity. There's many activities coming to their website. And I was lucky enough to do one about Aboriginal art and symbols and chat about creating stories.
Deadly. And what's this webpage as such, please?
So it's familyproject.org.au.
All right, fantastic. And so people can go online and have a look at it. And like I said, soothing the mind and the spirit and the heart and regarding the world we live in. COVID-19 has really turned our world upside down. And just to get our mob stronger, get a strong foundation regarding moving forward, yep?
Yeah, for sure. There's lots of different activities on my website. And obviously I've got one about Aboriginal art, but there's lots of activities you can do on there. And it's all online, and you can do it with your family and home, or if you've got family all over the place, you can all sort of join in on an activity, which is, really cool.
To Dada, Rihanna, tell us about the work that you do as an artist and how it has helped you in regarding COVID-19. And when did you start to be an artist and using art as the vehicle, so to speak?
Yeah, for sure. So I run a business called Yundaba. It means red belly black snake, and it's my grandfather's totem. Yes, so I've been doing the business 8 years. The last 3 years, actually 2 years, have been full time. So I get to be creative every day. Obviously, through COVID, it's been really hard. I've been in a strict lockdown, not being able to see my family. So, just being super creative and connecting through art has definitely kept me sane throughout all of this. And I'm lucky enough that, doing art's my full-time job. I get to do, big commissions. I just designed the Australian Paralympic uniform for the Tokyo Paralympics that went on.
Yes.
And then I did the AFL balls for like a few years, actually. They've just used them as well. It's really cool to do art as a job and just connect with mob all over and also with non-Aboriginal people. Just to show them and showcase their art and how sort of beautiful it is.
Yeah, fantastic. So, art has become a financial vehicle, but also spiritual as well, and helping mob out there and creating a beautiful space. And like I said, COVID-19 has turned our world upside down, and just to get our thoughts together. So thank you very much for sharing. It's the familyproject.org.au?
Yep, that's it. All of it's online, so you'll be able to do all different activities with your family on there.
Whether you're in lockdown or not, it's there for you, Rihanna.
Yeah, it's there.
Too deadly. Good yarning with you. You take care, my sister. All the best. And borders open up. Come and visit us up here in Cairns, far north Queensland, sister.
Sounds like a plan. Thank you.
Take care. Bye-bye. Deadly yarn there. Rihanna Lotta, her name is, and a proud Yuin woman and artist and founder of Gundaba. And doing beautiful work there, and was a great opportunity came about where she was producing art on the site, the website. All the website is all the W's dot the family project one word .org.au. So do check it out. So if you're feeling that way inclined, or you're an artist, or you like to, if you're locked down, or if you're just sitting underneath the tree on this mountain here in Cairns, go online, check it out, and let art do the work for you and touch your insides and connect your spirits. Be strong, you mob. Have your say, Yarn Up Strong, 1-800-422-416. National Talk Black. Yarn Up with the Bull around here, Trevor Tim, Trendy Trev, Murray from the Curry. The number again, 1-800-422-416.
Hey, what you doing, your mob? It's me, Bush Tucker Bungie, and you're listening to the National Talk Black program. Macaran.
National Talk Black, 1-800-422-416.
It's a song that boy fill your heart with joy, and a song by young E-Doug. This song they say will go a long way, cause they call it cutting a rug. Way up in Bree they call it on the spree, in Bug is the jitterbug. But well, Kenya's got the best name of all, yes, we call it cutting a rug. Now the boys and me, we were having a spree in the Mallee last Saturday night. We sang our songs as we joked along, everything was going all right. We were doing fine, drinking beer and wine, till one bloke mentioned fight. Now the folks all said we went off our heads, we made the Mallee ring that night. Old Hunter Bertie was badly hurt, while the old boy was half dead. His hands they shook and he looked so crook, laying back there in his bed. I said, pal of mine, here have a snort of wine, as I filled his little brown mug. Well, his eyes went red, they jumped out of his head, he flew out and cut a rug. Young Jim Malow is the boy we all know, they say he was doing fine. Yes, they seen him in town, just slipping around with a chaff bag full of wine. Well, he borrowed a sub and hit it for the pub, now that boy he ain't no mug. And then very soon, he had all the coons in the Mallee cutting a rug. In the bed all day, Big Johnny did lay, now I thought he was going to die.
Oh, yeah. careful when you walk through this land, because a child was born here, and a child was born there. Oh, 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 yeah. Oh, 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 oh. The mothers for the sun, and it orders, and it orders. On a mountain, in the valley down below, across the open plain to the sea. That girl up in the ashes by the river bone, where she was born, so that she will return. Oh, 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 yeah. Oh, 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 oh.
A Child Was Born Here is the name of that daily track by Archie Roach. And you can have your say in Yarn Up Strong here on National Talk Black. 1-800-422-416, number you need to call. Yarn with yours truly, Trevor Tim, Trinity Trev Murray from the Curry, your host for your daily program, National Talk Black, live here at the First Nation radio station here in Cairns on your dingy country, BBM Bumber Group Media, 98.7 FM. And we go across the nation thanks to NERS, National News Radio Service. Too deadly. Going to catch up with Yarn with TG, Tony Gibson live. Good morning, my brother.
Good morning, TT, the radio brother, Trevor.
Yes, yeah, all good, brother. How are you travelling?
Yeah, I'm good. I had a magic day on Saturday, but just before I tell you a couple of things, you talked about butterflies with a fella before?
Yes, yes. Dr. Trevor Lampkin, his name is. Entomologist.
Yeah, entomologist, yeah. I think I told you before I had a big interest in butterflies and... And I used to collect them, and that branch of entomology is called lepidoptery, so I'm what they call a lepidopterist. And
so that conversation would have pricked your ears and your heart, my brother?
Yeah. It sort of woke me up, because what he said, and there's a lot of butterflies up there, and the species are rich in 200 growing. He said, how many, 400 or 500 here? Things are really changing rapidly here, and... like last night, I was sitting looking at, I was down the green patch I've been maintaining in existence here. It's really well lit up. Mm. But 40 years ago, you'd look at all the lights and there'd be millions of insects around it. Are you familiar with those sort of sights?
Yeah, sure, yep.
And cane toads sitting at the bottom waiting for the insects to fall down and eat them and whatever.
Exactly.
Yeah, it was a massive food chain.
The circle of life, eh? The circle of life.
The circle of life. And you're sitting in the green patch and you're watching the trucks going past, and there's massive amounts of fertilizer and nitrates and pesticides. And I still have a butterfly collection. I collected around here when I got out of the welding factory. I ran up and down Wanganui Beach to get fit, and I chased butterflies. Mm-hmm. And I got to know them really well in the flight paths along the river and where they go.
Yes.
One specifically was at Peach Bridge, halfway between here and Gordon Vale and Little Mulgrave at the bottom of the range. There used to be a butterfly there called the red lacewing. It's a bright red butterfly, and it's got a flash of white on its wingtips.
Mm-hmm.
They're gone. You know, it's like the insects and the damage from what goes into the cane farms
is
killing everything.
Yeah, I know what you're alluding to. Exactly, exactly. And so I was asking Dr. Trevor Lampkin there, the entomologist, what can we do as human beings, you know? And that's the whole thing about it, isn't it? Just protecting the environment. Because that's their job. That's what they do. If there's butterflies are plentiful, we have a good environment.
Yeah, we just tell them to get rid of the sugar cane and then we can save the reef too anyway. That's that. What do you do, mate? It's just such a big problem. Like I said, I'll move on from butterflies. I've still got a collection and I've got unnamed butterflies and some never a thing because I really chased them and got to know them and it's something. And now, like I said before, I wouldn't kill one anymore. You hunt for the perfect specimen and study it. And then Donna started painting butterflies, and that's the butterfly collection now is a prized set of paintings that one day hopefully will be shown somewhere and everybody can see them.
Yeah, exactly.
But anyway, I went down the green patch, and Saturday was I was sitting down there in the afternoon, and there's these young fellas, Murray ones, black eyes, and they come riding past in their push bikes and they're going down the river and stuff, and they come and I had four paintings hanging on the car, and they stop and look, and they said, oh, this is good, good, look at this, and they come up to me on their bikes, they're about 10, 12 years old, and they said, oh, thank you for supporting black people, thank you, thank you, and I said, oh, well, that's my wife's work, I just come down here, you know, like talk to people about all the talents and people that we've got here in Gordonvale and we don't have any land to put it on. And these kids are right into it. And I said, well, where's your country? There's three of them on bikes. And he said, oh, we're... And I was playing a bit of Murray music in the background and one of them said to me, can you play Black Boy? I said, oh, it's somewhere here, but I said, I've just... I said, where are you from? And they said, oh, Yarraba, you know? And I said, oh, yeah. So they said, yeah, we're Gunganji, didn't you, you know? Gunganji. And I said, yeah, right, well, and they said, have you got any Barry Sedgwick? And I said, well, that was on just before you come. So I put on, I live in the Araba, and they was doing a corroboree in the car park.
Beautiful.
I was knee-knocking, and they were singing out. And then one of their bikes was fixed, and another traveller I'd met before come up for a yarn, he fixed their bike for them. We got some tools. And it was so good. And they were thanking me overtime.
Yeah, lovely, isn't it? Music is the essence of life, my brother.
And the best thing anybody ever said to me, one of them kids said, he said, you know what, I'll come to your funeral. And I thought this is the
way. That's a long time you got to wait for.
Yeah, well, I didn't say that, you know, but
sure.
It was a great compliment from these kids, you know. Beautiful. And I was just happy to see them free and stuff there And the green patch, well, like I said, that's a year. I've been maintaining a presence there and putting the flyers up and talking to more grassroots people that are more interested and a lot of angry people, and they've got to sit at the top. And this is a main cultural site of Edingi in Gordonvale, south of Cairns, Queensland, and it's an obscene situation. And, you there?
Yeah, brother, yeah. Hanging on every word, brother.
Yeah. Well, I've got to say this because our local member here is Curtis Pitt. And I've been told he's got a connection with an Aboriginal family in Yarraba.
I believe he has, yes.
Yeah, and I don't want to go into his personal life, but he has a legitimate connection. And we hear Yarraba gets a lot done for it. And he's the MP for Mulgrave, and it's like there may be a conflict of interest in there favouring his wife's people over there. I mean, I have to say this because in Gordonvale, it's a disgrace that if he understands and knows Aboriginal people, he's the one that funded the Green Patch development, and he's the one who should be responsible for opening the locks and let the people go free with their cars. Where they stay on the rocky river road, no damage gets done. The way it is at the moment, the four-wheel drives and the motorbikes are extreme and the noise and the showing off in front of... it's just incredible. We have these cultural sites all over Australia. This is a dingy radio here in Cairns. There's a bad situation here, and it's a national disgrace.
Sure. Yeah, brother. And you're fighting the fight, brother. You're fighting the fight, and... we need people like you out there, my brother. Have you had that conversation with Mr. Pitt?
I've never, ever been able to see him. Mm. Never, ever. He never did. Used to go and see Warren Pitt, his father, and he used to say to me, and he said last time, well, what can I do? I'm surrounded by cane farmers. I mean, if they show us any favour, that's all their mates saying, oh, what do you help them for, you know? Because that's the...
But we're talking about a little patch, aren't we, brother?
It's the green patch, and it's our local place, and this is land rights for all the locals who just want to go down there in a car, have their picnic, and just have our place returned.
Yep.
It's our sanity in this town.
Well, we keep the conversation strong here, my brother, so fantastic tool, and you're using it, my brother.
Yeah, well, that's in the Dingy cultural site, and, you know, the travellers have got the lot, and it's just not right, and so... There you go. We're all fragile like butterflies.
We are fragile like butterflies. Too true.
That's right. And it's affecting our mentality, how it can be so obscenely racist.
Affecting our environment. Tony, thank you, my brother.
Thank you.
You take care, brother.
Bye.
Tony Gibbs, a regular caller, local caller here on Your Daily Program, National Talk Black, and he's our warrior for the green patch, and like I said, at the base of the Walsh Pyramid at Gordonwell there at Mulgrave River. So, look, a fantastic sight. Your mob coming in the Cairns driving, you'll cross the bridge and cross the Mulgrave River and have an opportunity to drop down there and see the beautiful place. He's been fighting for the last 5 solid years and... He uses this tool as that yarn. Have your say, Yarn Australia. 8 minutes left on the program here. National Talk Black, 1-800-422-416 is a number you need to call. And all he's here for your yarn here, National Talk Black. 20 Trev Murray from the Curry, going to catch up with Selwyn on the line. My brother, good morning.
Good morning, brother. Yeah, I just have some business. I missed that first part. My brother just joined just now. But anyway, brother, two Miglers with connection I want to talk about. I just listened to Tony there, but did you watch last night? I don't know if anybody talked about last night's program on Channel 7.
No. Go ahead.
It was this program about, I don't know why they put it on there, but the stuff that was on each, about Kumide Walker and the bully man, and the father was talking, and I thought a lot of the stuff you have to wait till it goes to court. Mm. Then the two people I want to talk about with the connection, and I thought it was one-sided, the story, and they humanized Zach Roth, that's his name, the perpetrator.
Mm.
They spoke about how before he saved some people that were other white people. He said, fair enough, they were flooded down Alice Springs. But after when they humanized him, there was a fellow that became a police commissioner in South Australia. A black fellow saved him, brother, from Nooka. He was escorting that black fellow from Nooka, from Roper River to Darwin. And he was in neck chains, brother.
Mm.
And that fellow that became a police commissioner, he fathered Aboriginal children. And this one fellow that was on Australian Story, and I probably know him already. But anyway, it was a flood, and he was on horse, and the flood washed him off his horse. And that Murray fellow that saved him in neck chains, I don't know whether he got an award too. I don't know whether they took the chain off him when he continued the journey to Lotus Glen. Sorry, not Lotus Glen, Fanny Bay.
And how long ago was this, brother?
Oh shit! I'll get back to you, brother.
Sure.
I got the story, but I'll let you know about that, brother.
Sure.
That fellow. But it's public knowledge, you know, it's one thing.
Yeah.
The white fellow, it's public knowledge. His son is Charlie King, brother.
Charlie King, okay.
Yeah. And Michael Gunner, the chief minister, his uncle is Peter Gunner, who was one of the stolen generation with, I forgot her name, Lois, anyway, Lorna Kabila. So there's a connection there with the chief minister of the territory.
Mm.
And, you know, that brother that got killed where he put up a fight, he got a lot of, you know, all our people, we got a lot of issues from past before. One of the things that was left out there was, like, Bloody Swear, Brother Coniston, Massacre, Brother, that's all, Wallaby, that's all these, my brother.
Mm.
And with that, he was an ex-veteran, too, like Jack Wolf, that, and that fellow that led that massacre, he, of course, they would have rode on horseback when they was in Beersheba or somewhere in the Middle East. And with the people over there in the Middle East, they'll be expecting it. But our people there, all Kumanjay's mob, they wasn't expecting it. Good that best price spoke up there. And I didn't like what Warren Mundine was saying, but yeah, brother, and just last week, brother, that lady from Carnarvon somewhere got shot, you know, by a bully man.
Yes,
and he got off that, and they did a lot about the other one, Anna Clark, but that story, good coverage of her, but wasn't a good coverage of the other Clark, the one that shot. And yeah, but I couldn't see why they sort of gave it a one-sided, and he was the police. And I thought a lot of the stuff, they didn't talk about it, as why what the jurors will hear it, and what you, I don't know what they call it, like in court, but because it might be offside, the jurors be listening to what the father was saying, and there were a lot of coppers that were resigning from the force up there, and that's bloody black, but that's the same way with Chris Healy, brother, the union, the police union here, they were going to call a nationwide strike for all the police around Australia if they didn't get their way, if they didn't change their, what they call them, prosecutor, whatever. It was two of them. It was one was, I forgot their name.
But everyone's got a right to boycott or protest.
They were going to go on a long strike. Slow strike. They wasn't going to issue any speeding ticket or like them kind of thing. And they blackmailed the government, brother. They held the government to ransom. And this is, I feel, what was sort of what I was led to believe for me. What the police are doing up in the territory, they can all resign. And they have their own Facebook, and they're saying a lot of stuff on Facebook that the jurors can see, and it's going to sort out the jurors for the learning, and they're going to threaten, they're all resigning. Mm. And what if the whole police force asked, they all go on strike, brother, and if they don't get their way? Yeah, brother, thank you very much, brother.
Thank you, brother. Thank you. That's someone, that regular caller here as well on National Talk Black. You can do the same by calling us at daily number 1-800-422-416. It's a powerful voice, a powerful vehicle, and yarn up strong here about all topics, all ears here on your daily program, National Talk Black. Want to give a big shout out to Cloncurry State School. Thank you very much, Karen Heels and brother Phil Guy, Gunganji man, both out there working at the Curry School, and invited us out there to do some work, cultural work and motivation. It was a fantastic week last week. So big shout out to Stephen Evans, James Daly, Uncle Peter and Bumi Hyde, Bernard David, Dion Drummond. Look, a fantastic trip, and we were out there with the mob there, and we did cultural awareness with the teachers as well. It's a beautiful conversation. Good to be back on country, see my family. Big shout out to Tony Melita and Uncle Mitch, and beautiful family. It was great to catch up with your mob, and of course Dad sends his love. Have you saying yarn up strong, your mob? You may have to do that tomorrow, because Murray's going to sign off here with National Talk Black back in the hot seat again tomorrow. That daily number, 1-800-422-416. Stay black, stay deadly, stay strong. More important, stay safe. We're still in a pandemic. Borders about to be opening up, but we need to abide by the rules and keep ourselves safe. Get the jab, or have the conversation about getting the jab, your mob. Here's Japana. Take you up to the news. Too deadly.